reunited, cause it feels so good.
Yay. Welcome to Cinema
Down
Chop.
Here at the Chop Watch. Shop. Recording in the Chop Shop. Whoa, 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 whoa. So all of this excitement and exuberance is just to inform you, the listeners, that we are back in our home, our native space for recording, the man cave adjacent, the garage, the Chop Shop. And so welcome back in here, you guys.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. Feels good.
And also welcome to you, the listeners, to Season 7, Episode 1, the Season 7 premiere of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs
like us
decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
It's a rerun, but the Traviator.
Uh-huh.
A.K.A. We need to talk about Travis.
And I will be your host, and I'm joined, not remotely, but here in the same room, by my co-host and co-producer, the Sean Red Line, a.k.a. Sean and Ollie.
I like it.
And we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show, Chop Shop regular,
woo,
Chelladega Knights, a.k.a. Kong Chell Island. And Sean, your lovely wife, Allie, could not be with us tonight, but we know she's a big fan of the topic this evening.
Yes.
So I made some nicknames for her. We've got Casualties of War, a.k.a. Criminale. Further description of the show, the tagline says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remakes, reboots, sequels, that sort of thing. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
And so at this point, I need to ask both of you a question. And hopefully you came up with something since we did the rundown. But can you point out an example of a bad or unnecessary remake?
No, I was too busy playing with my hair.
Okay. I'll go ahead and give you guys the example that I have. Does that work?
Yeah, what you got this
week? I've got Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes from 2001.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the one that came before the newer CGI, more polished, better Planet of the Apes ones. The Tim Burton one tried to use a lot of prosthetics.
Got Mark Wahlberg in it?
And Mark Wahlberg, yes. Speaking of prosthetics.
see what you did there.
So that's the example, and that's the kind of the point we're trying to make, is there's a lot of things that you could choose to remake or reboot, but why not go for some original content? That brings us to our first segment, which is movie news. And this is where we try to pay attention throughout the week to stories that will kind of apply to our show and that our audience might find interesting. And we have to start it off with some RIPs this week. Unfortunately, this week there's 4 RIPs that we felt were worth mentioning. First, RIP to the great Fred Willard.
Oh.
Scene-stealing comic actor and master of improvisation, dies at 86 of natural causes in a smut theater. Aww. Rest in peace to him and rest in power. Also, we've got France's legendary actor Michel Piccoli, who was born in Paris, has died at the age of 94 from complications after a stroke. Then we've got Eddie Haskell, or the actor who played Eddie Haskell, Ken Osmond, the troublemaker character on Leave It to Beaver. He died at the age of 76, and no cause was given. And then this last RIP, Sean, do you want to take this one? Ken Nightingall.
Oh, yeah. This is the pink shorts boom guy from Star Wars.
From Star Wars Episode 4. His a photo, like a behind-the-scenes set photo, behind the scenes.
Good one.
came to light a few years back and became kind of a viral sensation, and that actor has passed away. And of our 4 RIPs today, he is the only one that passed away from COVID-19. So I think that we're flattening the curve here, guys.
I hope so.
One can only hope.
And speaking of coronavirus, the Academy may postpone the 2021 Oscars due to the virus. Thoughts?
I guess it makes sense. They do what they want to do. There's so many films have been pushed as a result of it.
Wouldn't they stand to spend less money if they did it in a virtual platform?
Oh, I would love that.
That would be cool.
Virtual Oscars, you have your virtual host or hosts. People, the celebrities who would be in the audience are tuning in from home.
Yeah.
And they're actually not going to have to spend all that money renting out the theater and all the swag.
Yeah, the swag bags.
Yes. So I think we're on to something here.
I think it's a good idea. Because people look at celebrities and they pay attention to them. And so many people are not taking this virus seriously.
The precautions that they should
be taking.
Yeah,
that if they shut something down like that, I think it's good.
Yeah. All right. Next, Tom Hanks' new World War II film is going to skip theaters and debut on Apple TV. And that movie is called Greyhound. This is the first time hearing about it. Bane masks are selling out online thanks to Batman fans who are converting them into coronavirus masks.
Still not as cool as my Immortan Joe mask.
True. Good point. The Snyder Cut of Justice League is officially going to release on HBO Max. And the neckbeards have been clamoring for this one.
I'm good. I'm glad they get it so they can shut up about it.
Yeah, I saw your response to this news on Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
You said, will it have improved lighting, storyline, and character development?
Yeah. Funny Zack Snyder didn't respond to it.
He didn't.
No.
And then finally, our final storage today is going out on a light note. Peter Dinklage and Jason Momoa are teaming up for a vampire adventure comedy called Good, Bad, and Undead.
I hope this does well because I would love to see them reboot Twins.
Okay. It's funny you should say that because there was a picture of them together after this news broke. And somebody used it as a fake story that they were rebooting Big Lebowski.
Oh, wow.
But didn't we use Jason Momoa in a recast of Twins at some point in like 80s comedies or something?
I don't think so.
You got to go back to the file, man. I'm just waiting on the phone to ring. When's it gonna ring it? When's it gonna ring it? That must mean that it's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Good evening. Carrie was released in 1976. Alfred Hitchcock made cameos in 40 of his 52 surviving major films. Half of them happened within the first 15 minutes of the film, so they wouldn't be too distracting. It's Sarah Chalk. I found a video where it came straight from the lady's mouth, eh? It should be noted that George Clooney also had a role in the short-lived sitcom called ER, which also starred Elliot Gould. He was also on an episode of The Golden Girls playing a cop involved in a sting aimed at catching the ladies' jewel thief neighbors. And of course, he was Booker on Roseanne. You should do a Clooney episode. I'll, listen for my bunk. Next time, we shall be back with another season. Until then, good night.
All right. Thank you, Dana, for that. And I hope that you have your vintage, distressed Last of the Mohicans poster with you in your bunk. We appreciate all that you do, and this will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department for this week, which brings us to the theme of the episode for our Season 7 premiere. In celebration of his 55th birthday on May 24th, 1965, we're talking the films of John C. Reilly, which I think this is going to be a fun episode. I think that he's pretty beloved in terms of a character actor and a supporting actor.
Yes, he is, and a wide-ranging actor.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can pretty much do anything, serious, comedy, farce, tearjerker.
Yeah.
I've said this week in talking about his films, I think he's at his best when he plays the vulnerable, down-on-his-luck schlub. I think he is great in that part.
I feel like I have taken him for granted. I was looking at the library of his work, and I'm like, I've seen all of these, and I'm going, oh my God, I didn't even realize that he was in these films.
You went to the John C. Reilly Library?
I did. I went to that library.
Okay. All right, so a quick few bullet points for his bio. John Christopher Reilly is an American actor, comedian, singer, screenwriter, musician, and producer. Born in Chicago, Illinois, he grew up in the Chicago Lawn neighborhood. His father was of Scottish and Irish descent and ran an industrial linen supply company. His mother was of Lithuanian descent. He described himself as being a mischievous child, highlighting an event when he was 12 in which he and his friends stole 500 boxes of sugar pops from a freight train.
Oh, wow.
He attended Brother Rice High School and is an alumnus of the theater school at DePaul University in Chicago. He made his film debut in Brian De Palma's war film Casualties of War from 1989. Reilly gained exposure through his supporting roles in films like Days of Thunder, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and The River Wild. He also starred in Paul Thomas Anderson's films Hard Eight, Boogie Nights, and Magnolia. For his performance in Chicago in 2002, Reilly was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor and the corresponding Golden Globe for the same role. He worked with director Martin Scorsese on both Gangs of New York and The Aviator. He's collaborated several times with director Adam McKay and comedian actor Will Ferrell on films like Step Brothers and Talladega Nights. He was nominated for the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy Musical for 2018's Stan and Ollie opposite Steve Coogan. Finally, not only for his broad, almost 6'2" frame, trademark curly hair, and everyman's mug, but also his straightforward but thoughtful acting style, Reilly has frequently been dubbed, quote, his generation's Gene Hackman. And that is the story of John C. Reilly. All right, so now it's time to go into our next segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where we go around the panel and we each talk about how to pronounce the word panel. And we each select two movies that are within the catalog of the subject of our episode, this week being John C. Reilly. And so, Chelsea, would you like to go first?
Sure. This segment always makes me really nervous because I'm like, what am I going to use? What am I going to use? And this was the first time where I had too many movies to choose from. I had like a quadruple feature and I brought it down to two. And so I'm going with 1994's The River Wild.
I love that movie.
I love that movie too. I had it on VHS and I watched it so many times, like I wrecked the tape. Meryl Streep is such a badass in it. And I'm pairing it with The Hours, and the common theme is Meryl Streep.
Right.
She's in both of them. And I mean, they're both great. John C. Reilly plays two very different characters. He's a bad guy in The River Wild. And in The Hours, he's the husband to Julianne Moore. And it's just a tragic family. I don't want to give anything away because people should watch these.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I like it. Sean, you want to go next with your double feature?
Sure. I picked a double feature featuring the Gyllenhaal siblings.
Oh, okay.
The first is 2002's The Good Girl, starring Jennifer Aniston and Jake Gyllenhaal. John C. Reilly, the man of the hour, plays Jennifer Aniston's husband, kind of a blue-collar painter. He's a painter along with his painting.
Boxing above his weight class a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit. His work partner is played by Tim Blake Nelson.
Okay, great.
And they both just kind of sit around and smoke pot after they finish their shifts. And Jennifer Aniston works at the Retail Rodeo. It's kind of like an old school department store that's got everything from groceries to cosmetics. Gyllenhaal is kind of like a stock boy cashier kind of guy who, his name's Holden Werther is his character's name. And he thinks he is the reincarnation of Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye.
That'll turn out great.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an adultery tale. He and Jennifer Aniston kind of get together and get it on, and John C. Reilly in this role does play the nice guy, the guy who gets wronged, and somehow he comes back to her in the end, and I guess they live happily ever after, kind of. Hmm. Oh, it should be mentioned that Zooey Deschanel is also in this.
I like her,
and I don't like her, but I liked her in this. She plays this very bad attitude PA announcer girl, and she gets taken off the PA because she keeps doing commentary on people in the store, and so they put her behind the cosmetic counter with Jennifer Aniston, and she's really not good at that either. And I am pairing this with 2004's Criminal. And this features Maggie Gyllenhaal, the other of the siblings, along with John C. Reilly in the lead role and Diego Luna.
Yeah.
And
remind me, because I feel like I've seen this.
This is a long, long con.
Okay.
John C. Reilly takes Diego Luna under his wing and shows him some very clever con artist tricks. And they kind of they have a big fish that they're trying to reel in. And I'm not going to give away ending. But
it sounds vaguely familiar, but I may not have seen it.
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal plays John C. Reilly's sister, and she's like a concierge at a very really nice hotel.
Okay,
and he utilizes her to facilitate a meeting with an art collector or a currency collector, actually in this case. And it's a rare piece of currency that they're trying to sell to him. Yeah, it's a long con. And gotcha. it's a good movie. Both of these, I think, are relatively okay. Criminal, I think, is the better of the two, and it's a hard film to find, especially considering there are several other films named Criminal or variation of the title, especially around 2004 when this came out.
Yeah, true. Good point. All right, so we mentioned John C. Reilly's involvement in the career of Paul Thomas Anderson. He was one of those actors that PTA, as I'll call him from here on out, not to be confused with the Parent Teacher Association, and repeatedly worked with. And so the first example is very good. It's from 1997. It's called Boogie Nights. It's, like I said, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. It's got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it takes place in California in the 70s during the golden age of the pornography industry. And we've got this teenage busboy named Eddie Adams, played by Mark Wahlberg, who gets discovered by director Jack Horner. And Jack Horner's played by Burt Reynolds, who transforms him into an adult film star, sensation named Dirk Diggler. And it's brought into a supportive circle of friends, including fellow actors Amber Waves, played by Julianne Moore, Roller Girl, played by Heather Graham, Reed Rothschild, played by John C. Reilly, and Dirk fulfills all of his ambition, but a toxic combination of drugs and egotism threatens to take him back down. First of all, I'm just going to say, I really like this movie. There are some parts of it that are very depressing, but that's the nature of the porn industry and the drug trade and addiction and so on and so forth. But there was a lot of things that really worked in this movie. I'm pairing this with a movie that PTA made in 1999, just 2 years later, called Magnolia. And it's got an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is a little bit high. So one random day in the San Fernando Valley, a dying father, a young wife, a male caretaker, a famous lost son, a police officer in love, that's John C. Reilly, a boy genius, an ex-boy genius, a game show host, and an estranged daughter all each become part of a dazzling multiplicity of plots, but one story. So you described earlier one word about this film, and it is pretentious. I could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to repeat that formula of really solid ensemble cast, interwoven stories, culminating into one thread, and it just didn't pan out for Magnolia.
My issue with Magnolia is it reads like Paul Thomas Anderson was trying to make an American version of a European art film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little forced, a little heavy-handed.
A little masturbatory.
Yeah, that too.
Also, 3 hours and 8 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. The Reign of Frogs, I think, really was the icing on the cake for me.
Also, they cut out the character Worm, who was played by Orlando Jones from Mad TV, and there was supposed to be a whole subplot with him. You know, the little kid who's rapping to John C. Reilly on the street, and he's like, I can help you with the case, and he says some things about the worm. Well, that was actually supposed to be part of the whole plot, or one of the subplots, and they just cut it out. But if you're at 3 hours and 8 minutes after cuts, then something had to hit the floor. So yeah, that's my double feature. I got two Paul Thomas Anderson movies, both with John C. Reilly surrounded by a really solid ensemble cast, that one works, one didn't. All right, well, let's get into our feature segment, which is the recast. And we're doing another Paul Thomas Anderson movie. This is Paul Thomas Anderson's directorial feature, his directorial feature debut, I should say.
There you go.
Hard Eight from 1996. And in this one, a stranger named Sidney, played by Philip Baker Hall, mentors a young Reno gambler, seemingly out of the kindness of his heart. The gambler is named John Finnegan, and he's played by John C. Reilly. And very quickly, he gets married to a lady of the night, a sex worker named Clementine, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, a very young 24-year-old Gwyneth Paltrow. And he also begins a friendship with a vulgar casino regular named Jimmy, played by Samuel L. Jackson. And the rest is really just the way the plot develops from there. And so I don't really want to spoil what goes down, but you can see that it's setting things up for a bad situation. Sean, you watched this for the first time, correct?
Yeah.
And your thoughts?
There were technical aspects of the film that I was really interested in. Mm-hmm. I liked the music a lot. I loved the rubbing leather sound effect that Samuel Jackson made.
Which his gloves.
Just his general movements. Yeah. It was really sleazy, kind of. But around the second act, that the film just kind of lost me. I really lost interest in the characters because Paul Thomas Anderson threw out a whole bunch of other things that could have been pursued for plot lines, including the lead character's relationship with John C. Reilly and his father. A lot of little things like that that are just like, why'd you even mention that shit? Or am I supposed to make up my own story? Because my own story is going to be better than your story.
Okay. So you're thinking maybe he was setting you up for like a choose your own adventure in your imagination?
I don't know what he was doing. It's like, why drop those things? Are you trying to be clever?
That's a valid point. All right. Mm-hmm. Chelsea, thoughts on this one?
I have similar thoughts to Sean, and okay. I think it translates even to the relationship just between the characters. Mm-hmm. They meet at this coffee shop, and then all of a sudden it's 2 years later, and you're like, well, what happened in these 2 years? And they kind of give you these little nuggets, but nothing ever really comes from it. And then all of a sudden he's married, and it's like, what?
Yeah. All right. So the roles that we're going to recast, we've got Sidney Brown, played by Philip Baker Hall, who was 65 at the time. We've got John Finnegan, played by John C. Reilly, 31 at the time. Clementine, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, who was 24, and Jimmy, played by Samuel L. Jackson, who was 48 years old.
48?
I was so surprised. Apparently, this is the first time I've had to recast Sammy L. Jackson. Man, in 1996, he was 48. First up, Sidney Brown. And who would like to go first with their recast of Sidney?
I'll go.
All right.
I love this character. I love him. Kind of this tough guy, but with like a heart of gold. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted that to translate with my actor. And he's mostly known for TV shows, NYPD Blue and Sons of Anarchy. I went with Jimmy Smits.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has that same vibe. No, like he's a tough guy, but you still love him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can totally see that. Good job. All right, Sean, it's on you.
Okay, my actor is also 65 years old, and he's got a heart of gold, but I've never seen him play the tough guy. Because it might be hard for him to do with his southern accent and his 4'11" frame.
Oh my God.
But you might know this actor from Jason Goes to Hell, Sordid Lives, and The Help. I'm talking about the hero of TikTok, Leslie Jordan.
Well, shit.
How y'all doing?
I have no idea who you guys are talking about.
What y'all doing? Screwing?
Have you ever watched Will and Grace?
Yes.
He was on Will and Grace.
So, okay. The little guy that battles with Karen.
No, I didn't apparently watch that much.
You would know it when you saw him.
All right, my actor is 69 now. He was in one of my favorite childhood movies, Stripes. These are all going to give it away. He was in Groundhog Day, Lost in Translation, The Life Aquatic. It's Bill Murray. Bill Murray is going to be my Sidney Brown. Also, quick note, Philip Baker Hall played the police commissioner in Ghostbusters 2. All right, next, we've got John Finnegan, Reno Johnny, played by John C. Reilly, 31 at the time. And Chelsea, you want to just keep this rotation going?
Yeah, that seems fine.
It's good for me.
So my actor, he's been in a lot of things. Neighbors, Now You See Me, 21 Jump Street. I went with Dave Franco. And the whole reason I went with him was this character is a follower.
Yeah.
To the T.
He's naive.
Yes. And I think Dave Franco does a good job of portraying that in a lot of his characters.
Yeah. Well, if you grow up with James Franco as your older brother.
I mean, that's just what happens. Yeah.
Dave Franco's got a new film coming out. He's the director.
I think I heard about this.
The movie poster looks amazing.
It's beautiful. It's an upside down shot of a home. So the home is on the top edge of the poster. And so it's like all sky at the bottom. But there's a person falling into the sky, mm-hmm. I guess, in the middle of the poster. Beautiful poster.
Do we remember the title?
It's called Rental.
Thank you.
Okay. Nice job. Sean, you're John Finnegan?
I went with a 32-year-old, and you were talking about the everyman visage of John C. Reilly. I think that this actor kind of has that same kind of everyman kind of look about him. You would know him from Black Mass. You wouldn't know him from Battleship. You would know him from Game Night. And, of course, Breaking Bad. I went with Jesse Plemons.
Oh, okay. I actually do know him from Battleship, the Rihanna vehicle.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Oh, also, I just wanted to mention, there was an old man named Sean John Finnegan. He had whiskers on his chin again. They fell out and then grew in again. Poor old Sean John Finnegan begin again.
Thank you for that.
I ran out of breath at the end. My turn for John Finnegan. He's 28 now. He was in The Hunger Games. He was in Logan Lucky. He was in a recent movie called Plus One. And he's also on the TV series The Boys. I went with Jack Quaid. Jack Quaid, son of Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan. Jack Quaid.
Right on.
Yep. He's gonna kind of be that naive, but exuberant character. He wants to succeed and have fun and have things, but isn't quite smart enough to go about them the right way. All right, we've got Clementine. Oh, my darling. Oh, no, I'm just joking. We sing campfire songs. Gwyneth Paltrow was 24 at the time. And who did you think about for this one, Chelsea?
So I'm just going to give her away. I went with Sarah Hyland only because Clementine is a little, she's a blonde. We'll just put it that way.
Okay.
But she's loud and she can hold her own. She's kind of street smart. And I think Sarah Hyland can play that well.
Yeah, she could probably pull that off.
Yeah.
I like her. She's also older than she looks.
She's, Sarah
Hyland. I think she's late 20s.
Yeah. I think she was
1990.
She was actually older than the character she was playing on Modern Family, is what I'm getting at. Sean, who's your Clementine?
Well, let's see. We're talking about Gwyneth Paltrow, the famous wackadoodle, with her goop. And her crazy cure-alls. Let's call them that. Goop. So I wanted an actress who kind of falls into line with that. She's 28 years old, and I'm quoting her from an article. She says, "I make my own medicines."
Oh, God.
"I don't get those from doctors."
Oh, my.
End quote. You would know her from The Fault in Our Stars, The Descendants, Divergent, and Insurgent. I went with Shailene Woodley.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you went with kind of a ideological approach to that.
Yeah, but also she's,
she's a good actress.
She's a good actress, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My Clementine is 23 now, and she's in a couple of Netflix movies. The first one, appropriately, is called Tramps. The second one is called The Meyerowitz Stories, which I've heard of but never seen. And she's also in that recent Under the Silver Lake, which was a little bit disappointing. But I think that she's going to be a good mini-me for Gwyneth Paltrow. Her name is Grace Van Patten.
Oh, wow.
Grace Van Patten, or at least a mini-me Clementine.
Yeah.
We got one more. We got Jimmy. Samuel L. Jackson was 48 at the time playing Jimmy, and Jimmy knows things from back east.
Mm-hmm.
He knows things about Sydney, and he knows things about John. And he's willing to manipulate the situation for his gain because he knows things. And he's unscrupulous. I guess I kind of said that. Chelsea?
Well, first of all, how the fuck do you recast Samuel L. Jackson? It was hard.
Yeah.
So I just thought about who I wanted to hear, make that speech about, oh, she's got a nice ass and a nice pussy and all of that.
Right.
Wanted to hear that speech. And so I picked Chris Tucker because I want to hear his high-pitched little voice say that speech and then get shot at the end.
Interesting. Yep. The, Chris Tucker was in Jackie Brown and gets shot by Samuel L. Jackson when he comes out of a hotel room. He's like, man, I didn't want to go nowhere. I'm high. You're Jimmy, Sean?
Well, I too wanted my actor to recite those lines. And also, given his film history, he's very good at games of chance. Because he was in a lot of movies with Jackie Chan. I also went with Chris Tucker.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. And Chris Tucker probably is 48 now.
He is.
Okay, good deal. Well, my actor is not 48. I was thinking about the actor I wanted before I discovered how old Samuel L. Jackson is and was. So he's 28 now. He's 20 years younger than the original actor. But he's been in some really good movies and TV shows lately. He was in Sorry to Bother You, Knives Out, Uncut Gems, and the TV show Atlanta. His name is Lakeith Stanfield.
Very good.
Yeah.
Lakeith Stanfield. I think, especially in this picture that you, the listeners, can't see, really just exudes some Jackson energy.
Yes.
All right. So I'm still going to give this a recommendation.
I would recommend it solely for Sydney. I love that character.
Yeah.
And I can't stop thinking about him.
And Paul Thomas Anderson brought him back for Boogie Nights and for Magnolia and probably other things. Sean?
No, it's neither a non-recommend nor a recommend for me. It's just right there on the fence.
Okay.
There are things I like. There are things I don't like.
All right. So be your own judge, Chop Shoppers. We need to go to intermission, but not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some shake
and bake.
That was great.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under review.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it and multiply.
A podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during the intermission. I got to pee in the yard.
I still haven't and never will.
And when we come back from intermission, first, we want to welcome, we're joined right now by Sean's lovely wife, Casualties of War, a.k.a. Criminale.
Hello.
And thank you for joining us. I understand that you're a big JCR fan.
I always enjoyed him when he was funny. That's what I mostly saw. But really, it was Chicago and his performance of Cellophane Man that completely broke my heart.
Now, tell me what Cellophane Man is.
That's his song.
Gotcha.
Remember, he's Roxy's husband, and he just basically gets kind of ignored and treated, and just the whole song is about how he's invisible to her. Okay. And in his life, and it was just heartbreaking and beautiful, and I'm like, if you can bring that to the table, you are a fantastic actor.
Well, he did have a musical theater background, mm-hmm. and he sent in an audition tape of himself singing, I think, one of the songs from Chicago, mm-hmm. and got the job based on that. And he is from Chicago.
Well, delightful.
Yeah. What else do we like to do when we come back from intermission, Sean?
Beer check-ins.
And what do we have to try today?
I brought in Hotel Rendezvous. It's a Bavarian-style wheat beer, also known as a Kristallweizen, from Revelry Brewing in Charleston. And I bought this one just because it's got like a blue Cadillac convertible, and they're in a retro hotel. It kind of mm-hmm. reminded me of the hotel in Hard Eight.
True, true.
So,
okay.
So, very tenuous connection.
I don't know that we have checked this in on the show before, but if I will certainly check it out. I've been on my game with the Untapped.
I noticed.
And I keep doing the location Untapped at Home to encourage other people. So we will enjoy that, and we will get into our 2020 movie marathon. And this is where we and whoever else would like to participate, we try to watch as many new-to-us movies as we can throughout the year. The goal being 366 this year because it's leap year. And we check in our movies on Letterboxd and Twitter. I do mine with the hashtag 2020 movie marathon under the @cinemachopshop handle. And Sean, remind the listeners, what was your Twitter handle?
A windowless van.
@AWindowlessVan for all of Sean's 2020 movie marathon check-ins. It is the 143rd day of the year. And I'm on number 198.
I'm on 194.
You're catching up to me, man. I did a lot of rewatches this week. Even rewatched Best in Show for some reason.
Because it's amazing.
Well, Fred.
I'm on 136.
That's probably why. 136. Nice. You're not actually very far behind the day of the year. So
no, that's what I'm trying to catch up to.
Some gaining some ground. And Allie, what check-in are you on?
I am not on a check-in. I do not hold myself to this rigid countdown. Uh-huh.
And so do you have one in particular, Chelsea, that you'd like to talk about today?
First one I'll talk about is number 132. It's I Love Everything, the Patton Oswalt comedy special on Netflix.
Okay.
The only reason I want to talk about it is because Sean, Allie, and I actually went to the recording of it in Charlotte.
Hell yeah. When was this?
It's been about 9 months ago.
Yeah, okay. It was a while. It was great. It was fun during these difficult and weird-ass times.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice little break.
So I want to know, how different was it watching it on a screen versus seeing it in person?
Well, he recorded two back-to-back shows. So we were the first audience, and then there was one after us. And I can tell what was from our show and what wasn't.
Right. Do you think they mixed some of the two shows together?
Yes, they absolutely did. And then it was so weird being there because, he was done and we were, clapping. And then we sat down and they're like, okay, we're going to do this again, but I need you guys to, stand up and clap and act really hard, redoing clapping and stuff. So
and Patton was
really
great during this because Patton would come out from backstage and he would talk to the audience. He's like, all right, come on, motherfuckers. Yeah.
I think he closed the show three times with us.
Nice. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, one other thing on the special. He gives a shout out to another comedian who recorded a special in San Francisco that plays right after his. Somebody that's not super well known, but he's like, this guy's hilarious. You need to watch it. Yeah, no, it's great.
So the algorithm knew to play that one after the
No,
one that
Patton
he...
comes back out on stage and says, hey, this guy's special is coming on next. You should really watch it.
Wow,
I love
so
him.
It's very deliberate.
He
that's
was
awesome.
Instrumental in having that play after his.
Cool deal. Nice check-in. Sean, what's going to be your first one this week?
All right, pertinent to the episode, I'm checking in. We need to talk about Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is John C. Reilly, Tilda Swinton, and Ezra Miller.
Yep.
And it takes place over the course of many years, and it is about more about Tilda Swinton than John C. Reilly, but they are a well-to-do family, and they have a very special child named Kevin who is...
Disturbed,
mm-hmm. defiant, psychotic, and 2011, so I'm sure for the time it's pretty shocking how this film ends. I won't give it away for anybody who hasn't seen it, but Yeah, it's a ride. And John C. Reilly is an enabler.
In a way, yeah.
But not, you know, again, with enablers, it's not being malicious or deliberate. He's just a nice guy, but he kind of helps this situation develop just by who he is and how he interacts with his family counterparts.
Okay. All right. My first check-in, I'm going to do all comedies this week. They're all 2020 comedies. And the first one is number 195 for me, and it's called The Wrong Missy. And it's been a long time since I've laughed this hard at a David Spade movie, which is true. But Lauren Lapkus is a goddamn comedic force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really funny. Basic premise is this kind of middle-aged guy. He's successful in his career, but not very successful with women. He's trying online dating. He has a disastrous first date with this girl. Then months go by, and he meets what appears to be his dream girl. And chances are she has the same first name, Missy. And he puts her in his phone, and then gets this opportunity to invite her to this awesome, like, launch party, right? Wasn't it like
a corporate retreat.
Corporate retreat, thank you. And accidentally invites the original Missy, Lauren Lapkus character, who's off the fucking rails. I enjoyed it. I think it's, especially in these kind of serious, stressful times, it's good to have an old school.
A good dumb comedy.
A good dumb comedy, exactly. A little bit of a romp.
And this is why you delete your ex's numbers or at least change their names.
Yeah. Bad Missy. Do not answer. All right. Next for you, Chelsea.
This is number 135. It's called Seberg.
Okay.
About Jean Seberg. Kristen Stewart's in it. And I'm pretty sure they gave her meth before she went to act, because it's the most animated I've ever seen her.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's not saying much because it's still Kristen Stewart, but there was range.
Kristen Meth.
Yeah. There was chemical
Crystal
enhancement.
Crystal Stewart.
Yes.
I'll
absolutely.
Get there eventually.
But the movie was really great. Awesome supporting cast.
And for the listeners, not me, because obviously I know, but could you tell them who Jean Seberg is?
Well, I did not know until I watched this movie, and she was an actress that got involved with civil rights activism in the 60s, and it all just kind of goes downhill. The FBI like starts following her, and it's really sick what they did to her.
And so it's a biopic based on a true story. Okay, cool.
Yeah, the supporting cast is really, really, really good.
Really good.
Do you think that my lovely wife, Michelle?
I think she might like it. Yeah.
Drink. Okay, we'll check that out. Next up for you, Sean.
I'm going to check in Frances Ferguson. This is based on a true story about a woman who, substitute teacher, who sleeps with one of her students and goes to prison for it and reintegrates with her small town afterwards. And it's narrated by Nick Offerman. And
oh, okay.
This movie has such biting sarcasm from Nick Offerman's narration to the dialogue and the character of Frances Ferguson, which the lead actress, whose name escapes me, she also wrote the script. And it's a decent film. Worth a check out, I think.
All right. My next one is number 197, and it's called The Trip to Greece. Now, this is the fourth installment in director Mark Winterbottom's series of travelogue comedies with Steve Coogan and Rob Reiner, something like that. But two very kind of Python-esque comedians, in my opinion. I've liked all of the previous ones, the trip to Italy, the trip to Spain, and this one was just as good. So if you enjoy them or those, you'd probably enjoy this as well. You got another one, Chelsea?
My last check-in is 134. It's called The Light from the Tower. If you come across this movie, turn around and run away super fast.
Okay.
It is possibly the worst movie I've ever seen.
Damn.
Yeah. It was, I told Sean, I was like, I'm pretty sure I broke the Geneva Convention by watching this.
So, recommend or no?
It's a hard no.
It's, what's it about, though? Is it a horror film?
It's supposed to be. It's somebody's college project.
It's about the excessive screen time that Matthew McConaughey got in the Dark Tower movie.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's just not even worth it.
Sorry, that was The White in the Tower.
All right, I'm going to check in a stinkeroony of a film. It's called Hanukkah. And as the presser on this film said, it's the Festival of Frights. My ass.
Yeah.
And it's a shame to know that this was Sid Haig's final appearance on film. He appears early in the film and again late in a flashback. It's very sad. His legacy deserves better than this very, very bad slasher flick. It's okay. Almost like you took like a Silent Night, Deadly Night, Santa slasher flick and flipped it with a Jewish slant to it.
Okay. Let me ask you, does anyone get stabbed with a dreidel?
No. A menorah. The dreidel is used in this as a method of meting out this crazed rabbi's justice. it's bad. I'm not even going to go into more detail. Just check it out for yourself if you want to know more, but don't.
Is anybody suffocated with a yarmulke?
No. However, there is a scalp used as a yarmulke. And to be fair, it was the scalp with a swastika tattoo on it. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad, folks. Don't watch this movie.
So not a recommend.
No. The opposite of recommend.
All right, I've got one more. It is going to be one that I just saw today. It's called The Lovebirds from 2020. And it is Michael Showalter's second movie with Kumail Nanjiani. The first one, of course, being The Big Sick. This one stars Kumail and Issa Rae, a African-American female comedian. She's really, really funny. This one is a lot less personal than The Big Sick because it was not written from personal events in Kumail's life. But it also depends a lot more heavily on slapstick. So okay. It's a lot more dumb fun comedy,
okay.
But I emphasize the fun.
Well, Showalter knows dumb fun.
Yes.
I mean, going back
to his next movie is going to be a serious drama.
I love Showalter stuff. I mean, all the way going back to The State, he's got a lot of depth and dimension.
And The Lovebirds is on Netflix right now.
Now, was Kumail buff in this movie?
Oh, yeah, he's ripped. They don't play that up too much because he's supposed to be kind of the nerdy boyfriend.
But you can tell he's getting ready for the Marvel flick.
Yes, absolutely. All right, that means it's time to get into the recast continued. This is going to be a little bit lighter of topic, a little bit lighter of subject matter. We're talking about 2006's Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Woo! Directed by Adam McKay, we've got a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. And in this movie, NASCAR superstar Ricky Bobby, played by Will Ferrell, is at the top of his game. He's adored by fans. He's got a smoking hot wife. He's got his best friend, Cal Naughton Jr., by his side, and incredible wealth. But Ricky loses it all when French Formula One champion Jean Girard, played by Sacha Baron Cohen, roars onto the scene. Ricky, with the help of his ruthless father, must pull himself out of the depths of despair and restore his honor on the racetrack. I rewatched it just for this. I've seen it several times, but it was a lot of fun. But this is the first time I realized that his last name is Bobby.
Yeah.
Because his dad comes to, like, what does your dad do for work day? He's like, I'm Reese Bobby.
Now, who was his father in the film?
Oh, it's, gosh, if you wouldn't have asked me. He's on Veep. He's one of the underlings in Veep.
I can't think of his name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
It's okay. So, the other character that we have not mentioned is the assistant, Susan, played by Amy Adams, who eventually becomes Ricky Bobby's love interest, right?
Yes.
All right. So the characters that we're going to recast are Ricky Bobby, of course, played by Will Ferrell. We've got Cal Naughton Jr., played by John C. Reilly. We've got Jean Girard, played by Sacha Baron Cohen. And Lucius Washington, played by Michael Clark Duncan, rest in peace. And then finally, Susan, played by Amy Adams.
Oh, it was Gary Cole, by the way.
What?
Gary Cole played his dad.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gary Cole.
From Office Space.
I thought you were telling me. Never mind.
No.
Okay, so anything else we need to say about the movie before we dismantle it?
I do want to say one thing about Talladega that's in the news right now.
What is it?
The mayor of Talladega, Alabama, has come out to say that we need to re-implement public hangings for drug offenders.
Oh, damn.
No, drug dealers.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
That's way worse than what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say that he wants the fans back in the stands.
For public hangings.
Oh, man. So it's more like Talladega Knights of the KKK. We've got, first up, Ricky Bobby. Chelsea, you ready?
I'm ready. So I think I'm recasting that movie, Knights of the KKK, because I'm turning this serious.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be serious stuff. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a comedy.
Right, so Days of Thunder.
But better. Because it's
also
my recast.
John C. Reilly,
right, yeah.
My actor was in Prometheus, X-Men First Class, mm-hmm. Steve Jobs. I went with Michael Fassbender.
Mm-hmm.
Because okay. He's serious.
He's your Ricky Bobby.
That's my Ricky Bobby.
I can see it.
Right?
In the serious version of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's scowling.
Yep.
For inside of his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm retooling my movie too, but I'll get into that
later.
It's got
a huge prosthetic penis.
I'm retooling, but I'll talk about that later. But it is a theme pick. So my Ricky Bobby was from Columbus, Ohio. He was born Guy Ramsey Ferry. And you'll know him from The Interview,
as
well as Diners, Drive-In, and Dives. I'm with Guy Fieri. He is my Ricky Bobby.
Wow.
That is great. My actor is 36 now, and he was in The Wolf of Wall Street. He's in After Midnight. He's also on a TV show called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and he's a co-host of one of our peers' podcasts. It's Henry Zebrowski.
Nice. Nice. Skinny Henry Zebrowski.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He doesn't have to be, though. He can be whatever weight
God,
he wants.
He has gotten so fit and trim. Mm-hmm. Good on you.
Next up, we've got Cal Naughton Jr., the Shake of Shake and Bake. And he was played by John C. Reilly, 41 at the time. Chelsea, what are you thinking for this one?
So again, serious. Serious
movie. Sorry.
I'm
sorry. Hold up. Serious.
My actor was in La La Land, Blue Valentine, The Nice Guys, but mm-hmm. I envisioned him when he was in the movie Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Ryan Gosling.
All
right. He's probably going to eat his cereal.
Ryan Gosling, and that's some serious cereal, and Michael Fassbender. Okay,
yep. Gotcha.
Note from the engineer, even though it is serious, you can speak up.
Nope. It's serious.
So for my next one. All right, Sean, who's going to be your Cal Naughton Jr.?
All right, this is what predicated my entire recast. John C. Reilly, we'd mentioned the everyman face, but one thing we didn't mention was his craggy brow.
He does, kind of.
Very craggy brow. It's almost his signature, I would say. This actor, and it's funny I mentioned that Guy Fieri's original name was Guy Ramsey Fieri. I'm recasting Gordon Ramsay.
You son of a bitch.
Wow.
He looks just like him.
So you okay, I'm not even going to say anything.
I'll go ahead and reveal it. It's Tableside Nights.
The Celebrity Chef's Edition.
The Ballad of Donkey Sauce.
Wow.
All right. I'm going with straight comedy for mine. I can see Zebrowski going off the hinges all Ric Flair style. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
And I can see this guy doing that as well. He is 36 now. He's in Game Over Man, Jexy, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, and Workaholics. It's Adam Devine.
Oh yeah.
Love Adam Devine.
That's good.
I would love to see those two together.
Yeah.
I wonder if their energy would complement each other or clash.
Right. Like two positive ends of a battery.
Yeah. A magnet more.
And then you just make them make out. All right. Next up, we've got Jean Girard, Formula One. Openly gay race car driver who comes to the NASCAR circuit to shake things up and does just that. Sacha Baron Cohen was 35 at the time. And Chelsea?
So if you're going to make a serious movie, you have to have this actor. He was in Inception, Looper, Don John, Joseph Gordon. I can't say it.
Joey Gordy Levi's.
Thank you, because you guys always say that.
Joey Gordy Levi's. I'm pretty sure we invented that name for him.
You did, and now I can't say his name.
We can't claim Joey Pants, but we can claim Joey Gordy Levi's. Next up, Sean, your Jean Girard.
Don't disappoint me, Sean.
This talent is not openly gay, nor is he French, but he is a villain in many cases. He has been in Entourage. by the way. But he's also known from Boy Meets Grill as well as Iron Chef. I went with Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay!
Well done, thank you.
Right on. Okay, my figure for this, my comedic figure, is not really what I would call an actor. He has been on some TV shows, mostly as himself. But he is quite arrogant and aloof and egotistical, which I think will play into this part. You can tell from the names of his comedy albums and stand-up specials like Shakespeare, Caligula, and Fire in the Maternity Ward, I went with Anthony Jeselnik. Anthony Jeselnik is going to be my Jean Giraud.
I could see that.
All right, we've got a couple more. Next up is Lucius Washington, head of the pit crew, played by the late, great Michael Clark Duncan, who was 49 at the time. And Sirius. Chelsea.
This actor caught my attention in Seaburg. And he's also been in The Hurt Locker and The Avengers, all those movies. I went with Anthony Mackie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like Anthony Mackie. Mm-hmm. He's good.
Sirius. Cool.
Very serious. Speaking of Hurt Locker and The Avengers, have you not seen the internet thing? It was an article I read that Jeremy Renner looks like a portobello mushroom.
Fuck you.
No, seriously, look it up. Jeremy Renner.
I was going to say that like when I think of serious films, I do always think of The Avengers
right.
franchise.
Yeah, me too.
I was just watching The Avengers on Cinemax. Next is Sean's pick for Lucius.
This actor, not even actor, I'm sorry, this chef. He was the first African-American MasterChef America champion in season 9. His name's Garon Hurt.
Garon Hurt.
And I believe he does bear a little bit of the...
I think so.
The same stature of a Michael Clark Duncan.
He's a big old boy.
He's the sous chef in my recast.
My actor is 51 now. I couldn't go with anybody else except for President Himacho from Idiocracy. He's also in The Longest Yard, Deadpool 2, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's Terry Crews.
Love it.
One of my favorite parts of the movie is when they go to see him in the hospital, and he says he's paralyzed, and he stabs himself in the leg. They're like, don't stab yourself in the leg, Ricky Bobby. I love it. All right, next. We've got Amy Adams, who is 32, playing Susan. Amy Adams was 32, playing Susan, and she's originally Ricky Bobby's assistant. But after some things go awry, she becomes a little bit closer to him.
Yes.
Chelsea, who's your pick?
My actress was in the 50 Shades franchise, Suspiria, and our favorite, I'm sorry, Dana, Peanut Butter Falcon.
Peanut Butter Falcon!
I went with Dakota Johnson.
Nice. She's all right. She's easy on the eyes. Next up, Sean, Susan.
Talk about easy on the eyes. So yeah, this is an unlikely pairing, though. Amy Adams was a bit of had more polish than Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
So my pairing with Guy Fieri is an unlikely pairing, considering how beautiful she is, but also her pedigree of being in the De Laurentiis family. Giada De Laurentiis.
Oh, okay. Fancy, man. You're making me hungry. My Susan is 31 now, and she kind of came to people's attention in the movie Superbad. She was also in Easy A, The Help, and La La Land. It's Emma Stone.
Now, who's she again?
Emma Stone. She's going to be my Susan. Final thoughts on Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Allie?
No.
It's dumb fun.
It is dumb fun. I compare it a lot to Hot Rod.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's funny to see Adam McKay as the director, what he's doing now versus then. He's really elevated himself. You watched it recently. How does it hold up?
I laughed just as hard as I did when I was stupid. All right, so I'm going recommend, and it sounds like we've got some light recommends from rest of the panel.
It's a fine recommend.
And that will bring us to our bonus segment, which is going to be a battle royale, a fight to the death. between the following three figures in their prime. We've got John C. Reilly versus John C. McGinley versus John C. Fremont.
Oh my God. Oh, wow.
So, any questions?
Refresh my memory on John C. Fremont.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Sean. John Charles Fremont, or sometimes pronounced Fremont, with an accent over the E, was an American explorer, military officer, and politician. He was a U.S. Senator from California, and in 1856 was the first Republican nominee for President of the United States. Now, in 1856, Republican didn't necessarily mean what Republican means now. Chelsea?
I mean, I'm just going to pick John C. Reilly, because he's the cutest of the three of them. He's the most adorable.
All right.
I want to hug him.
Cool.
And I want the other two to die.
From 6 feet away.
No, I would break social distancing to hug him.
For John C. Reilly?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
I would probably do the same for Bill Murray.
I feel that.
He's in a dangerous demographic.
Yeah.
I have already professed my love for John C. Reilly, but McGinley would take him down.
Uh-oh.
McGinley would take them all down. McGinley, Dr. Cox.
I got to go with Cox as well. He's McGinley is...
Sean, you always go with Cox.
I go with Cox. Yeah. But no, McGinley is just ruthless.
So,
yes. At, you know... Office Space.
Yeah.
Scrubs. I mean, yeah.
He's got I love the whole catalog of Michael Bolton.
So I'm going to be the odd man out once again and pick John C. Fremont. And I've got a very quick anecdote about him. my dad, Father's Day is coming up. My dad was a park ranger in Oregon, in the state of Oregon. He worked in the state park system. And he met this old prospector from Eastern Oregon, who also was working at the park. Guess what his name was?
Fremont.
Smokey Joe! But really, this old prospector told him about a time that he was out in Eastern Oregon looking for gold, and he came across two bronze cannon barrels out in the desert. And he wouldn't tell anybody where they were because he wanted to go back and get them. But my dad, being a history buff, knew that John Fremont had traveled from California north. And when he got to his destination, he didn't have these two bronze cannons that he had when he set out on his trip, like they had lost some weight along the way. But that old man passed away, and we never found out where those cannons are.
Bummer.
Yeah. So that's the story of John C. Fremont. All right. So with that, we want to go ahead and wrap up the show. I want to thank you, Allie, for coming and joining us here for the second half.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And is there anything you want to plug this week?
Seminar is open again.
Yay!
Seminar is open again. The beer garden is rocking and rolling. I'm thinking about doing the first week of trivia in the beer garden.
It's a good idea. I think it works, and the PA is already out there.
So that'll be my plug.
When do you want to start that?
I'm thinking right now, unless something crazy happens, first Wednesday in June.
Okay.
So, Chelsea, thank you for being here as well. You like your new title?
I love it.
Chop Shop Regular!
Woo!
You should be Chop Shop Regulator.
Yes.
No, that's Dana's job. So anything you want to plug this week?
My haircut. It's awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Chelsea's rocking the pixie cut. Not at all a single white female thing. also, I want to thank the engineer, my co-host and co-producer, the Brew Boss himself. Thank you for doing what you do, man.
You got it.
Thank you for getting us back in the shop.
Woo!
And what do you want to plug this week?
I want to plug Chelsea as the Chop Shop regular because with it comes responsibility.
Oh, mm-hmm. With great power comes great responsibility.
Chelsea says that she is going to post our recasts photographically on social media.
I think that it's going to be more work than you want to do that because I know what it's like to just do my own PowerPoint because I know I do a PowerPoint even when we're recording remotely.
I would at least try. And the only reason that it came into my head is my mom listens.
Yes.
And some of the actors she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I wish I could see, especially when they say face value.
Is he the guy from the thing?
Yeah. So I want to at least attempt it.
Right on. Okay. So also, Sean, do you know what next week's episode is?
Yes. We are doing the films of Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. In celebration of her 59th birthday.
May 31st, 1961. We're talking about Leah Thompson, and I do have a Leah Thompson trivia question for you guys.
Okay.
So we know that she has two daughters, Madeline Deutsch and Zoe Deutsch, with her husband, Howard Deutsch, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
I think that's right.
We examined it before. However, before meeting Howard, she was engaged to this actor for 3 months. Who was that actor?
What were the years?
I have no idea.
Before meeting her husband. Do you want a clue?
Sure.
She met him on the set of her first film, Jaws 3D.
Michael Caine.
Nope.
That's funny.
It was Chelsea, I guess.
I have no idea.
She was engaged for 3 months to Dennis Quaid.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she potentially could have been the mother of Jack Quaid, one of my recasts tonight in Heart 8.
Wow.
Also, we want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever podcatcher app it is that you happen to be listening to us on right now. And also, we're found natively online on podbean.com. We're Cinema Chop Shop on there. Our Twitter handle is at Cinema Chop Shop. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Cinema Chop Shop. You can just search for Cinema Chop Shop. Our Gmail, our email is Gmail, and it's cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And finally, the beers that we checked in today, I actually got to taste one, they are going to be checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are on there as Cinema Chop Shop as well. We want to say thank you to you, the listeners. Farewell. And please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.
And tip your Riley.
Riley Keough
and Shop O'Reilly's.
O'Reilly.